Now, if you'll turn to page 834, Psalm 113, for the responsive reading, and this one we will read responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, to the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. God's glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is seated on high? Who looks far down upon the heavens and the earth? God raised the poor from dust and lifted the needy from the ashes heap to make them all sit with princes, with the princes of God's people. God makes the barren woman a home and makes her the joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord.
Our second reading comes from 1 Samuel. In your pew Bibles, Old Testament, if you will, the Hebrew Bible, you can find it, this reading on page 233, 1 Samuel 1, 4 through 20. Hear this story. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. It can be found on page 210 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. "And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord, "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds," he also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. You can find it in the Pew Bible in the New Testament on page 47. And I'll give you a hint. This is the image. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." And Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, as I mentioned earlier, as you probably well know, today is Commitment Sunday, when we will offer our commitment cards back to God. But it is also Thanksgiving Sunday. And something that, boy, I don't know how many people knew, it reminded me only in the lectionary, but today is also Bible Sunday. Next week is the last Sunday of the church calendar. That is Christ the King Sunday. And then we're off into the new church year and Advent and finally Christmas. I want to offer you a simple message today, a shorter sermon that calls your attention to Bible Sunday and also to Thanksgiving Sunday. Thursday, as you know, is Thanksgiving Day, and I hope that you will be in an attitude of gratitude and grace. The message of the Holy Bible is important to Christians because it spells out for us the salvation history of God's people. We begin to know God by understanding the work of God's kingdom on earth. It is said that God is love. And it is also said that Jesus is the truest and most real manifestation of God's true nature, that is, of God's love. Jesus is the perfect reflection of God's love, and Jesus is calling you to reflect God's love through your life. You reflect God's love by offering praise. You reflect God's love by being hopeful. You reflect God's love by being thankful. Every Sunday when we come together for worship service, we offer our praise to God through beautiful music, through prayers, and through scripture lessons, especially the Psalms. Think about Psalm 113 that Diana led us in this morning as we prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Well, as you hopefully know, this praise is not limited to Sunday mornings. You can find endless ways to offer your praise to God throughout the week. If you're like me, when you look around at the state of our world, you may well be discouraged. In the gospel lesson from Mark, Jesus foretold the complete destruction of the temple, and he talked openly about the end of time. Peter, James, John, and Andrew were concerned about this. Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that these things are about to be accomplished? Then Jesus began to say to them, beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he. And they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginnings of the birth pangs. Sounds pretty scary, doesn't it? And it doesn't sound so very different from the way things are today in 2012. Well, this passage from Hebrews that Daniel read reminds us that we don't need to be scared, but rather we can be hopeful. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have the great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day, that is, the end of time, approaching. Jesus has paid the price, once and for all time and for all people, and your sins are forgiven. You have every reason for hope because Jesus has kept his promise of eternal life. This hope in your faith should move you to action, to provoke one another to love and to good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. My sisters and brothers, we should hold fast to this hope as we hold fast to our faith community here at Burns Church. Well, starting today, I hope that you will take stock of your life, that you'll run through an inventory of God's blessings in your life. Consider your friends and your loving family. Think about your home here in Colorado and in the United States. Think about the blessings that you have that other people in the world don't have and certainly don't take for granted. A roof over your head, a warm bed, a full belly, running water from every spigot, money to spend on those things that are important to you, the freedom to speak your mind and worship God in the way you want. Consider the beauty and wonder of God's creation all around you. Think about God's amazing grace. God loves you absolutely. and unconditionally. My sisters and brothers, there is much for which to be thankful. Jesus is calling you to reflect God's love through your life. You reflect God's love by offering praise. You reflect God's love by being hopeful. You reflect God's love by being thankful. Let us worship God through our very lives. Amen.